Well, hello and welcome to our broadcast. We start a new series today entitled The Seven Pastors of the Revelation. Stay tuned for our program. In the early part of the book of Revelation, John writes his seven letters, and they are sent, of course, to seven churches. And there are four basic interpretations of the messages to the seven churches. First, these churches did exist historically. Second, that these churches represent all churches through all ages. Third, that there will be seven different churches at the end of the local church age. And fourth, the view is that these seven churches represent seven consecutive areas of local church history extending from the first century to the end of the age. Well, interesting. However, in all of those interpretations of these seven letters, it seems that everybody has missed the fact that all seven letters are addressed to the pastors. They are not addressed to the congregation. God's commendations and his criticisms are directed to the pastors. It was to the pastor that Christ said in Revelation 2:2, I know thy works. To the pastor, he said in 2:9, I know thy works. 2:13, I know thy works. 2:19, pastor, I know thy works. Revelation 3:1, I know thy works. 3:8, I know thy works. And again in 3:15, the Lord said to the pastor, I know thy works. It was to the pastor that he said in Revelation 2:5, repent or else. He didn't say that to the congregation. He said it to the pastor. In Revelation 2:5, he said, except thou repent, not them. Revelation 2:16, repent or else. Revelation 3:3, hold fast and repent. Revelation 3:19, to the pastor, he said, be zealous, therefore, and repent. It was to the pastor in Revelation 3:16 that he said, so then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. This warning has nothing to do with salvation, and neither is it focused on the congregation. It is a warning to the pastor that he will cease to be God's spokesman if he doesn't repent and get things straight. Each of the seven letters begins unto the angel of, and the word angel there just simply means messenger. That's what the word means, and obviously is referring to the pastor. So to the church of Ephesus, he writes to the pastor, and to the church at Smyrna and Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, the letter is written to the pastor. John is the only remaining apostle. He's nearly 100 years old. The temple and the city of Jerusalem is lying in ruins. The Jews have been dispersed for over 25 years when this was written, and the local church dispensation was underway. Alone and on the Isle of Patmos, John begins to write to seven different pastors. He begins saying, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Revelation 1:1. The word revelation is not used here in the sense that Christ is being revealed, but rather that Christ is revealing something. Paul used the same word in Galatians 1:12, where we read, Paul said, I taught by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He used the same phrase again in Ephesians 3:3, when he referred to the revelation that he, that is Christ, had made known unto him, and he referred to it as the mystery. In Romans 16:25, Paul referred to this revelation as the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. In Acts chapter 9, we have the account of Paul being saved. In verse 15, we read that Jesus said, Paul was a chosen vessel to me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He was told to arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The first thing Paul was to do was to travel to a specific mountain where Christ met with him. In Galatians 1 and 17, Paul said, "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." When God wanted someone to instruct Israel concerning how things were to be done during the Old Testament dispensation, he called Moses to meet him on a mountain, and he gave him that information that he needed to lead the nation of Israel. In Exodus 19, verse number 3, we read, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel." Well, Paul received instructions from Christ during the local church dispensation. When God wanted someone to instruct the people concerning how things were to be done during the local church dispensation, he called Paul to come to the same mountain, and he gave him the information that he needed in order to organize local churches. It was on that mountain that Paul received instructions concerning how pastors are to behave thyself in the house of God, the church, the pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. Again, referring to this trip, Paul said in Galatians 4 and 25, "For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia." Now, a close study of the accounts concerning when Moses and Paul received instructions will reveal that it was Christ who met with both of them. Well, Paul was the first person on the face of this earth to hear about how God's plans were to be for the local church age. Paul, referring to what Christ taught him as the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, Colossians 1 and 26. Following his instructions from the Lord concerning the local church age, Paul returned to Damascus, and when his life was in danger, he escaped and went to Jerusalem, where he met with Peter, and in Galatians 1 and 18, we read that he stayed with Peter for 15 days, and then later returned to his hometown of Tarsus. A close study of the four Gospels and the early part of the book of Acts will show that local churches were meeting long before Antioch. However, Paul was the only person on the face of the earth who knew how God wanted those churches to be organized. And so we read in Acts 11 and 25, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul," who of course later named Paul. He would know what to do because the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations had been revealed to him. In Acts 11 and 26, we read, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Now, Paul's mystery concerning the local church is very important, and we need to understand that as we get into this study about these seven pastors in these seven churches. It says in Ephesians 3, 1 through 3, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation," there's that word, "he," that is Christ, "made known unto me the mystery." In verse 5 and 6, Paul continued, "which in other ages was not known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So we read Paul was given a responsibility by God. In verse 7 we read, whereof I was made a minister that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Well, Paul spent the rest of his life introducing the local church age. He mentioned the local church in Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. He mentioned the local church in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews. He wrote about how things were to be done in the churches. Even at the end of his life, Paul sat in a prison writing to the pastor of the church at Ephesus, and his purpose for Timothy and for all of us is that we may know how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, it is important to understand this in order to understand the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation has three main divisions. In Revelation 1:19, we read, John was to write the things which thou hast seen, past tense, the things which are, present tense, and the things which shall be, hereafter. The focus in these seven letters is the condition of the seven pastors. The local church age that Paul was given instructions about was underway. John was to write about the condition of the seven pastors and their churches in Asia. For John, this was the things that are. That was present tense. The focus of the first three chapters of Revelation is on the local church age. And so we have here seven churches, and obviously we have seven pastors, and God's message is addressed to the pastors of those seven churches. In verse 11, he tells us where those churches were, and in verse 20, he makes it plain that the focus is on the pastors. In verse 13, Christ is in the midst of all the seven churches. However, at the end of the local church age, we find Christ saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." In this first letter, we see that the Lord says in chapter 1 and verse 22 that he holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. Chapter 2, verse 1. The seven stars are the angels or the pastors of the seven churches, as it tells us in chapter 1 and verse number 20. The Word of God has much to say about the right hand of Christ. His right hand speaks of power and authority. Revelation 1:17, Christ laid his right hand on John. In Psalm 20:6, speaks of the saving strength of his right hand. Psalm 98:1 says his right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Matthew 27:29, they were saying in mockery, they platted a crown of thorns and they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him. In Acts chapter 5, verse number 31, it says, "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Now, when Christ has the pastor in his right hand, it means that Christ controls the pastor. The pastor of the church at Ephesus did not focus on gathering a great crowd. He focused as a pastor on keeping the church pure, not on keeping it full. We read in verse 2 that he was commended because he did not bear them which are evil, and has tried them which say they are apostles and which are not, and has found them liars. In 1 Timothy, God commanded the pastor at Ephesus to preach the word. The Greek word for preaching means to herald. When a herald would come into town on his horse, he would say, "Hear ye, thus saith the king." He didn't come to dialogue. He told them what the king had to say. Well, Paul warned them in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 at Ephesus. He said, take heed to yourselves, to the pastors. Feed the Christians, he said. Watch out for the grievous wolves. He warned them, he said, night and day for 3 years, but they didn't listen. The problems came along, and our first letter was written to the pastor at Ephesus, and we'll have to take a look at that in tomorrow's broadcast, because we're out of time again. Be sure and tune in again tomorrow, and we'll look at that letter to the first pastor in the book of Revelation. Thank you.